All right. Well, we get to dive in, and I think in a phenomenal way, on our first venture back into Wednesday services and prayer. And I'm just grateful to be here with you guys in the house of the Lord. So I'm just going to share briefly about why I pray. There are many, many reasons why to pray, but these are just a few of them for me. So we'll hit the highlights real quick, just three bullet points, and then we're going to finish up in a time of prayer. And we'll just bathe our campuses and our community in prayer. So why pray? And as I approached this, I went, well, it almost would be easier to say why not to pray. There's so many reasons to pray. So I got three points: place, power, and perspective. Place. So when I go in to pray, first of all, I've learned a lot about prayer. I go to Saturday night prayer with CJ and Ellis and Jesse and many other faithful prayer warriors. And when I first started going, I really didn't want to pray. This is my testimony in prayer, and so this makes me valid, I guess, to speak on this, because God's brought me a long ways. I remember telling CJ, I really don't get prayer. You have all the people that pray about evangelizing the lost, and then there's me who goes and does it. So you pray about it, and I'll just go make sure it gets done, right? Because the accomplisher in me just didn't understand the connection between the power of God and birth in prayer and what happens by physically doing it. So to me, there was almost this arrogance and attachment to prayer, like, you know, I'll pray along the way. I'm sure God will bless it. So I didn't really understand these gatherings to pray and to seek the face of the Lord until I started to pray. So one of the beautiful things about prayer is it's like getting wet. You don't understand what it means to be immersed in water until you're there and experiencing it. So someone can talk all around the subject of prayer, but you don't really get prayer until you take yourself and immerse yourself into it. Start with place. So when we talk about place, what I mean is God puts us in the right place in our hearts as we come to him. And I want to get into Psalm 50. And this is where Jesus talks about how he owns, not Jesus, God talks about how he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, that he's abundantly rich. And in 12 it says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? It's a rhetorical question, meaning obviously not. God doesn't need the food that we have. So then it gets me back to the question that always bothered me with prayer, and that's, well, what can I bring to God in prayer? If he knows everything and he's got all this figured out, then what can I bring to him in prayer? And it's really cool because he answers this as we follow down through 14 and 15. And so to me, just bear with me, because I think in terms of food. So if God doesn't need that kind of food, then this is the sandwich. And I think sandwich when I think food. This is the sandwich God would want. It says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows. So to me, that's obedience to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Be needy before me. Show me when you need help. And then the end result of that is, I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. You know, it's one of the things that CJ says about prayer is that what we really are is just a conduit for the move of God. So if I can put myself in prayer, I don't really go to prayer to let God put me in my place. It's just one of those happy byproducts of moving myself into a position of prayer. Is I go before this king who's so magnificent that he doesn't need a single thing from me. And he tells me how to approach him. He says, the very first thing you should do with your Father God is bring to him thankfulness, gratitude. How do you approach God? With gratefulness. Follow it up then with your obedience. God, I'm going to follow through with what you speak to me. I'm going to follow your leading to the best of my ability. Whatever it is, Lord, that you speak to me in the secret, I'm going to walk it out where everyone can see it. Father, I'm going to be that person before you. And then it says when you're in trouble, so these are the layers of ham in my mind on the sandwich that I'm giving God, I'm going to be needy. And I'm not needy before the Lord in a demanding way or a whining kind of way. It says in the day of your trouble, call to him, right? Call out to me. And so what I'm presenting to God is a genuine, authentic need. And this is what the Lord has spoken to me about this in prayer, is that that neediness is a declaration of my faith. If I have no need for God, then I don't really believe in God. Because if I believe in God, I'm going to understand that there's so much of this stuff that I can't accomplish on my own. So my neediness isn't a demand before the Lord. My calling out to him in prayer and in times of trouble isn't me putting a demand on God. It's me recognizing the greatness of God and how awesome he is and presenting my need to him. God, this is where I'm at. This is what I need. And then the byproduct of that is that I'm positioned to give him glory. And I know many of you can relate to this. You know when you're positioned right in God, when you're in your right place in God, when you see him in all the subtleties of life, in the way that you mean one thing and it comes across as something else and it was better than what you would have said, and you go, that was God. Because my heart's positioned to give him glory. Or when you're studying and you're going, you know, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this course of study, but God adds his blessing to something, and the end result, like was testified here today, was I'm going to give him glory. It's him that does the work that bounces back outside of me in praise. You know, we relate to this Father God, this God who's so loving and so compassionate, but I think when we come before him, we recognize that he is our Father and that he loves us and that we are sons and daughters and co-heirs with him, that there's an inheritance associated with that. But our Father God isn't just like a natural God, not a natural Father. He's the God who birthed everything by speaking it. He's so awesome and so wonderful and so powerful that when I come to him this way with gratefulness first, that what it does is it puts me in a place to relate with him with awe and respect and reverence, so that when I walk away from that place, I haven't treated God as a gumball machine. Instead, I walk away going, this is the God who gives me breath, and I'm ready to give him glory. The next one is power. God is the original superfood. You guys all know the Odwalla things, right? It's the original superfood. Yeah, and like when you go through scripture, you can look at a lot of these things like oil. Remember the wise and foolish virgins? And there's this association with food there with the oil, and they had the oil. There's the woman at the well and the water, right? And Jesus says to her, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. There's many ones like that. Jesus says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, right? And there's this literal consuming of God. And then there's God's word. Matthew 4:4 says this, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is him after 40 days of fasting being tempted by the devil. He says this. He says, I don't need your bread. I have a totally different supernatural source. I pray because I too easily substitute God for some counterfeit I can find this side of heaven. I too easily substitute God for you name it. You fill in your blank, whether it's success at work or security or praise or whatever it might be. I substitute the authentic power of God for something else. And what I love about what happens in prayer is we get attached to a supernatural fuel that sustains and transcends and endures. That when I get into the presence of the living God, I pray because there's something that happens there where I tap into heaven and I am given a source that will last way beyond that encounter with the Lord, because he's going to walk with me out of that place and into all the other things that I've got going ahead of me. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity says this, now God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel. Our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. There is no other. As I was going through this, what I realized is that I was presenting in this scripture all the positive aspects of this, but it isn't biblically right just to show that aspect of the scripture. Because remember, when we talk about food and God, the way God presents himself, there's a negative side to almost all these scriptures. With the wise virgins, there was the foolish virgins who, when they hadn't gone into the presence of the Lord, who hadn't kept their oil, were not invited into the marriage feast. There was those who said this was a hard saying when Jesus said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they stopped following him. There's this thing about prayer that is more than just about fueling up and getting supernatural food. There's a whole nother side of this scripturally that says, if I don't let myself eat the flesh of God, if I don't get into a place in prayer and communion with him, then I don't really know him the way scripture wants me to know him. And that's just good Bible reading. I have to do the other part of this scripture, and that's one of the things that you walk away from in prayer. When you really engage God, there's no fear left inside of my heart about whether I would stand before the presence of the Lord and have him say, "Depart from me, you handing outer of bottled water, you lemonade stand clerk," because that's what we do on campus, "you good moral Christian," because I never knew you. But when I get into the presence of God and I eat his flesh and I drink his blood and I am washed in his presence and I exchange whatever I've got for the oil of the and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when I walk out of there, there's no doubt in my mind that I am heaven bound, that I'm walking in my King's presence, and that I have eternity's power with me as I step into the next things in my life. That's the beauty of it, is it's a twofold blessing there. And the last one is perspective. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 talks about how his thoughts aren't our thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. At Saturday night prayer, we talk about this. We'll finish up this prayer time, and we'll go, "Man, I just went to school in the spirit." Like, you go in with all your thoughts, like, "Hey, we're going to pray for this." And by the time you're done, you're way over here. And if you had to try to link the chain together on how you got there, you might be able to piece it there. But the reality is God showed you heaven's perspective on that thing. And instead of walking at it this way, he's got you walking at it this way. And if you hadn't gained heaven's perspective, you wouldn't be operating in tandem with God. It's a whole new exchange that happens there. God gives me his perspective as he gives me his thoughts. The school of the Spirit is just so fantastic. And God changes all my good thoughts, and that's being generous to myself, all my good thoughts into God thoughts. He takes all the things that I'm like, "You know what, if I could go at this God, you know, and my take on things," he all of a sudden starts to transform me into, this is the way the Lord sees it. This is heaven's perspective. And he's been doing that a lot with me lately. I got lots of stories I could tell, but the best way to pray is to simply pray. So my three things is he's just challenged me and blessed me. I don't necessarily pursue these things in prayer, and I know they seem kind of selfish, like, "Hey, shouldn't you be praying for these things, something outside of yourself?" And the truth is, yeah, I don't go in praying that God would put me in my place. It's just the healthy byproduct of prayer. So today we're going to jump in and we're going to pray through praying for our community in this outreach season. And we're going to pray for our campuses. And what's going to happen, because this is just what he does, is he's going to work this divine exchange inside of us. Whereas we pray heaven's will here on earth, there's just going to be this blessing that happens inside of us too, as he changes us, as he gives us heaven's perspective, as he gives us power and boldness and ways to go, and he shows us just how much of this really depends on him and how little of it depends on us, and that if we'll do our part, heaven just comes. Heaven just comes. So we're going to open up this microphone. Wow, I almost said microwave. We're going to open up this microphone. I can't tie that in. That's just what it is. Thanks so much. I appreciate that. And we'll pray. And I want you to come forward. If you don't feel comfortable praying there, you can pray where you're at. But I really encourage you, come forward and pray. There's something that happens as we step forward and pray those things out. And we're going to pray first for our campuses. And JCDs, you've just done a phenomenal job up there. But let's combine with him and let him do his work in this too. And we'll start there, spend a little time, and then transition into praying for our community. Lord, as we open up this time of prayer, we thank you that what you do in prayer is so magnificent, is so transcendent, so beautiful. God, that we can't encapsulate it in words, Lord. We just want to dive into you and experience you. And God, we thank you that as we step into this place, you meet us as the God of the infinite, that you're limitless. That when we come and we lay our needs before you, God, we're just affirming that we're desperate for you. That the best we have to lay at your feet, Lord, let it be pleasing to you. And God, would you pick that up and anoint it with your Spirit and do all the rest. Holy Spirit, please come into this place. I thank you that you're already here, and we approach you with gratitude tonight as we lay our requests before you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Let's come forward, pray for, first for our campuses.